You're listening to the Post-Apocalyptic Media Podcast, your source for all the latest post-apocalyptic news.
Hey everyone, welcome back to this 58th episode of the Post-Apocalyptic Media Podcast. I'm your host, Sean. I am the senior editor here at postapocalyptic.com. And this week, we have some news about some real-life end-of-the-world stuff. And of course, we have our normal, you know, the normal post-apocalyptic media stuff that we have going on, movies and books and all that good stuff, games, you know, all the rest. Is there anything else? I think there's a couple things. So we have the news this week. We're going to just start this off with some end of the world stuff. And I'm not talking about in a book or movie or anything. I'm just talking about real life possible end of the world stuff. And that's always fun, right? And we like to talk about that on the site because it's one of those things that I think it corresponds, you know? I think it has to do with the fictional side of things. We're also covering the non-fictional stuff, I guess you could say. So there was a big asteroid, actually a bunch of big asteroids that were coming straight at Earth. Kind of straight at Earth. They were going close to our orbit. And NASA was watching them. You know, when NASA's like, you know what? This might be a cause for concern, you know? But it turns out it wasn't. Well, so far. There was this little cluster of asteroids that were coming straight for us on anywhere from the 13th of January until... let's see. Well, today is the day I'm recording this is the 19th, so it's pretty much done. Like, the threat of that little group is done. But these are all pretty small asteroids. I say that with the, you know, the caveat that even a small asteroid would do some pretty gnarly damage to the Earth, to this little delicate planet of ours. If it hit, you know, who knows what it would do? I mean, there's speculations, there's movies and all that good stuff, which, hey, that ties right back into the movies, right? So there, you know, we don't know what would happen exactly. We know that it would do some, a small asteroid would do some pretty serious damage. And it's good that it's done, that the threat is over. But here's what I got away from this. Stephanie wrote this article about it. What I took away from this was that there is a NASA site called, it's eyes.nasa.gov. And you can track asteroids on there. You can track, and I mean, I'm talking about, it looks like you're playing EVE Online. It looks like you're playing like some kind of space sim when you go to this website. And you can track all these asteroids. You can, their, you know, projected path, all the different planets of our solar system and, you know, their orbits and everything like that, and the moons and all that. Really, really cool. You can kind of scroll around, you can click on the Earth and you can zoom in. You can't really zoom in as much as you can in like Google Earth, but you can, you know, you can zoom in and see the continents and the, you can see a live shot of the planet. It shows cloud cover and everything. I imagine that is possibly live cloud cover. I'm not sure, but it does show like the other side of it, you know, the dark side of the planet, and it shows all the lights, you know, the light clusters from all the major cities and all. So, you can see that. You can see the asteroids. You can see our entire solar system, the orbits, all that stuff. I've always been fascinated with that stuff. I have a son who is just bonkers over planets. And, you know, you ask him what are the dwarf planets that are next in line out in, you know, past our little solar system. And he'll tell you every one of them. It's so funny. It's just incredible. So it kind of runs in the family, and we love space here at this household, that is for sure. All right, let's get into, since we know that's not a threat, we know that those asteroids are not a threat, let's get into the next little bit of news. Now, last episode, I talked about an article that Stephanie wrote about the best TV shows that we can look forward to in 2022. Now, as promised, because I did promise in that episode that I'm going to write one that is the best post-apocalyptic movies in 2022, I can't even say it, that you don't want to miss. Now, these are the movies that are not only slotted, you know, they have dates for 2022. They're also the ones that are speculated to release this year. They're also the one, there's a couple in there that we don't know the release dates, but we're looking forward to maybe this year, but probably next year or the year after that. So here are a few of them. The first one is Moonfall, which I talked about last episode also, February 4th. That is, that's coming. And, you know, that ties hand in hand right with what I was just talking about with this asteroid. Moonfall is about, the moon falls out of orbit, something hits it, I think, and it's coming toward Earth, you know. So it's up to this team to stop it. I don't know how they would do that, but it's interesting. It's really interesting stuff. And I say interesting, but it's also supposed to be a little humorous, I believe. I don't know. I'm not sure. It has Halle Berry in it, Patrick Wilson, John Bradley. February 4th, that's coming out. Then on that same day, we have Last Survivors, which is Alicia Silverstone, who you might remember from the Aerosmith videos, right? Now, she was also in Clueless and a couple other movies, I'm sure, but mainly the Aerosmith videos from the 90s. That's the main... when you go to our IMDb page, it's just a bunch of stuff written really small and then really big Aerosmith videos from the mid-90s. I think that's probably what it says. But yeah, she's going to be in this, and she's kind of the mysterious stranger. There's a father and son, and they've basically been living off-grid for 20 years, 20-plus years, after an end-of-the-world scenario, right? So they've survived. Well, the dad tells the son, don't go out. Don't go out there. Don't meet other people. It's just a great lesson overall, right? Don't talk to other people. You can't trust other people. But the dad actually gets hurt. And so the son has to go out. He has to go looking for medical treatment, something like that. And then he meets Alicia Silverstone's character. I forgot what her name is. Yeah, it doesn't tell here on my little write-up, but you can look that up if you're super interested. But the movie comes out on February 4th, so you can check it out then and see if it's something that you enjoy. It sounds pretty cool. You know, you have the off-grid part, you have the survival prepping part, and then you have the end of the world part. And it's like a thriller, I think. I don't think it's like a horror movie, but it has that kind of, you know, almost there vibe. So should be pretty good. All right, then we have, on March 18th, we have Black Crab. Now, this is I believe it's a retelling of a previous story, I'm pretty sure. It's a Swedish movie, and it's about this group of six soldiers who have to go across this frozen sea to deliver this special package. That's really all. We don't know too much more about it. If it is a retelling, I'm pretty sure it is. I think it was a comic book or something like that. Then I'm sure the people who have read that, maybe it was a book, then they know, you know, the rest of the story. But that's what we have so far just on the IMDb page. Borderlands is coming out. We don't have a date for that, but we know it's probably going to come out this year or early next year. Now, the interesting thing about this is we've already gotten a lot of cast announcements for Borderlands. And it's I think it's a pretty crazy mix. Like, we have everyone from Kevin Hart, Jamie Lee Curtis, Gina Gershon, Jack Black, and Cate Blanchett, which Cate Blanchett was just in Don't Look Up, that Netflix movie from December. And she did a phenomenal job as kind of a slutty newscaster. I mean, you got to watch the movie. That's literally what she is. And of course, Cate Blanchett she played the role of Galadriel in the Lord of the Rings movies. You know, a very, Galadriel is like the queen of the Eldars. I mean, we could get into that whole thing, but she's basically an immortal being, I guess you could say. Spoiler alert, I just spoiled the whole trilogy for you. But she plays anywhere from that role to, you know, like Lady Galadriel, like they're so excited to see her, and she's such a royalty, you know, all the way down to these other roles like the newscaster and Don't Look Up. And then here she's, I forgot the exact role she's playing in Borderlands, but she's in it. And she's right along with, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis, Kevin Hart, Gina Gershon, Jack Black. Jack Black is supposed to play that little robot guy. What's his name? Trap, Clap, Clap Trap. What's his name? Yeah, I think that's what it is. So that's going to be Jack Black's character. So we do know that one. So yeah, I think that's, it'll be interesting. You know, Borderlands has been, oh man, it's been a game series forever. It's been something that, it's in what, 3 now? I think Borderlands 3, I haven't played 3, but I think they're on 3. It's just, it keeps going, you know? They have toys and just a whole bunch of stuff around that universe. So I really enjoyed I played 1 to death, 2 I played a little bit. Although I thought it was a much better game, but I just never played too much of it. But I know about the universe enough. Well, I don't know it enough to know Claptrap versus Trap Clap, I guess. But trust me, I've played these games, and I really enjoy the world of Borderlands. And so I'm excited to see what they do with it. That's my main point right there. All right. We also have a bunch that will probably come out after 2022. We don't know for sure, but most likely. Now, one of them we do know for sure, though, is A Quiet Place 3. That is already slotted for March 31st, 2023. So, again, John Krasinski wrote the original ones, the world that A Quiet Place takes place in, where the aliens and you can't make a noise or else they're going to kill you. So now we are in 3. From what I hear, there's not a lot out about it, but we do know that Michael Sarnowski and Scott Beck are writing, and I think Michael Sarnowski is directing. So they're basing it off of John Krasinski's original idea, but they're kind of taking it over from there for this third one. I'm not sure how that works. If this was a video podcast, we could put an image of Jim looking at the camera, like with a side view, like what? You know, like we need that Jim look to try to figure out what's going on with this third Quiet Place, right? All right, and the next one is, this one is actually slotted also, and this is 2023. I'm cheating here by doing some 2023s in here. But Dune Part 2, we know there's a Dune Part 2 coming up because when Dune Part 1 came out, it wasn't the whole story. And they said, we have a part 2 coming out. Probably there will be more after that too. But Dune Part 2 is expected on October 20th, 2023. So we have that to look forward to. Furiosa, which is the next Mad Max prequel. It's it's a prequel, but it's a story about Furiosa when she was younger. Origin story, that's what they call it, an origin story. It's an origin story about Furiosa before she got to the point where she, you know, stole a rig and drove across the wasteland. And it's going to be, Anya Taylor-Joy is going to be Furiosa, a young Furiosa. So that's cool because her stock has gone way up. Like since they announced this, you know, she was in Queen's Gambit. She's been in a lot of, you know, like Netflix kind of movies that are just incredible. She's a great actress. I'm excited to see that. And then also we'll have Chris Hemsworth. Isn't he like the Thor guy or something? Chris Hemsworth. And Tom Burke is going to be in it. So it's like a new cast, you know, it's exciting to see that this IP has gotten to the point where it's attracting like new talent to kind of continue that story. So that's a prequel, which we don't know when that's going to release. It probably won't even be 2023. It'll probably be 2024 because this is one of those that they were saying, you know, we're going to start working on it. And then they haven't really started working on it yet. And years ago, you know, they thought, well, maybe like 2021 or 2022. No, they're not done with it yet. So again, it is by George Miller, who has done all the Mad Max movies. So we do know that is going to be, you know, George Miller takes his time. He does a great job. Everyone was really loving Fury Road, which came out, you know, a generation after the third one, which was Thunderdome. So here's something else I read, and this is a side tangent, but it drives me crazy. And this actually relates to the next, we have another sequel Mad Max The Wasteland, which is supposed to be the sequel to Fury Road. Now, this is what drives me crazy. Ready? So I'm doing research on this, and I find stuff on Mad Max The Wasteland, and people are calling it Mad Max 2. Now, do I even have to say it? So Fury Road was not the first Mad Max movie ever made, kids. I'm the grumpy old man, and I'm getting grumpy about this, but it's so true. Fury Road was a great movie. I'll give you that. But it wasn't the first Mad Max movie. The first Mad Max movie was in 1979. Go see it. And if you don't think that was the original, which, I mean, we went through this in the 80s too, when the Road Warrior came out, which was part two, you know, people are like, oh, that's Mad Max. That's the Mad Max movie. That's one. That's the first one. And then when Beyond Thunderdome came out, people were like, well, this is part two. No, it's not. It's part three. Fury Road was part four. The Wasteland will be part five. I don't know if they're going to start doing like Star Warsy stuff and like, you know, number it. Like if Furiosa comes out first, will that be five? Even though it's an origin story that takes place before four, Fury Road. And then this one would be six. Common sense would say that The Wasteland, being a sequel to Fury Road, will come out and be called five. I don't know. We'll see how that goes. But man, don't get around me and call this next movie Mad Max 2, because I can't say it on the air. Let's go right past that. But yeah, we have The Wasteland to look forward to there. Not Mad Max 2. All right, Turbo Kid 2 is also... Now, this is actually a 2. This is actually a sequel to Turbo, because there was only one Turbo Kid before this. Turbo Kid, the original, was such a cult classic hit. I thought it was great. I didn't think it was, you know, people are going insane over it, but I don't go over insane over it. It was pretty good. It was kind of at the beginning of that whole like retro throwback time, you know, with like Stranger Things and Turbo Kid and all that. And people are like, yes, the 80s. I've heard so much about the 80s. It must have been a wonderful time to live in the 80s. Well, it was. I was 5 to 15 during the 80s. So it was pretty, you know, any time from 5 to 15 is a pretty interesting time. So I love the 80s. But Turbo Kid is supposed to be, you know, supposed to kind of harken back to that nostalgia of the 80s. So part two, that's what we're talking about. Part two, who knows what is, you know, where's it going to go from there? But we do know, the one thing we know, according to IMDb, is that Monroe Chambers will reprise his role as Turbo Kid. So that's something, right? All right. Another, this is a remake, basically, and this is A Boy and His Dog. The original came out in 1975, year I was born, and it's the second best thing to come out of 1975. And it stars Don Johnson, who I think this was his debut role. I know it was one of his early works. I think it was his first ever movie. He's a drifter in the wasteland. It's actually a pretty cool wasteland. It's like the sand and everything took over over cities, like, you know, giant drifts of sand went over cities. And then to go into buildings, you actually dig down. There's actually these things down in these buildings. Really cool. But here's the cool part about this. So why in the world would they make a remake of it? We don't know if it's a remake or a sequel yet. It is called A Boy and His Dog. So why would they make this now? Like, what, you know, why wait so long? 46 years, 47. I mean, by the time they make it, it'll be 48 years, 49 years, actually. So the thing is, here's the thing, is the movie was supposed to be like, you know, like 50 years later. It was like the, you know, the far future of 50 years later. So that year that's supposed to take place is 2024. So that's why I think we're not going to see this movie until 2024. I mean, it would make sense. But if they did that, if they could pull that off to make this movie, whatever, if it's a remake or if it's a sequel, in 2024, it would be poetic, you know? It would have a little... it'd be interesting just to see, you know, it's like in 1984, the movie 1984, of course, was made in 1948 by George Orwell. And so they remade it, and I think they released it in 1984, which was kind of funny because it was like, oh, the far future of 1984. And that's kind of the way we are here, the far future of 2024. So that's probably when that's going to release. I'd be excited to see it. I've always enjoyed the original. If you haven't seen it yet, check it out. It has some really gritty parts in it that are like, oh, okay, that's probably what would happen in a real apocalypse. So scary stuff. It's actually the first movie I ever saw where there's a woman in there who has to cut her hair and act like a man. She has to, you know, she basically disguises herself as a man because she doesn't want to get assaulted. You know, she doesn't like that's the reality of that time is we can't show ourselves as women. And we have to hide that. And it's crazy because it really makes you think like that's probably, yeah, it's probably pretty accurate. And then, of course, we have the Walking Dead trilogy, which we have no idea when that's coming out. No idea. No clue. We do know about this, that it's supposed to be a Rick Grimes story. You know, it's supposed to be Rick Grimes' story after he gets taken away on the helicopter. Spoiler alert. And we, you know, because we haven't seen Rick Grimes in a couple seasons of The Walking Dead. And we don't know really know what happened to him. We kind of know because I think it was World Beyond. Was it World Beyond or Fear of the Walking Dead? One of those two. I haven't watched them, but I've heard that I think it's World Beyond tells the story, a little bit of a story about the people who took Rick. And like, you know, it kind of ties that in. Well, this movie trilogy is supposed to tell more of that story. Now, the only thing is we've heard about this for a long time. Some people are even saying it's canceled. That hasn't been announced though. So I don't know. We don't really know what's going on with this. I think if they wait too much longer, you know, we're ending, we only have a few more months of The Walking Dead, the OG series left anyway. You know, once that series is over, if we wait 3-4 years to make the movies, you know, I mean, the people who originally started watching it, their kids are going to be like, what is The Walking Dead? Who's Rick Grimes? You know, why is he such a great shot? How come he can get headshots every time? Well, it's because, you know, if they wait so long, we're going to kind of forget about The Walking Dead. I don't know. Maybe not completely, but it'll be a little less enthusiasm, I think, if they wait too long. So they need to get these movies out. That's my point. Get these movies out. All right. Let's see. Okay. So that was that article. And I spent a lot of time on that, but I think that is, it's interesting to see what's coming up. Now that's actually, you know, I spent a lot of time on that, but that's actually not a lot of movies, which is weird. Like last year's, post an article about this was a lot bigger. So I don't know. I guess we have a lot to look forward to, but at the same time we kind of don't. So I don't know. All right, so this next little bit of news here, Tina wrote a wrap-up and a recap and a review of the season 6 finale of The Expanse. She goes over everything, and she even, you know, warns that there are spoilers. So she goes over everything in this last episode, and if you haven't seen The Expanse yet, or if you have seen The Expanse and you haven't read any of these articles, I would suggest going back and reading all of these. Really interesting stuff. She really, you know, kind of goes in depth on these episodes. So if you're a fan, definitely check that out. All right. And then another thing I did this week was I watched a couple movies. I finished Station 11, which, I mean, it was, you know, it finished. I didn't finish it. It finished. So, and I was following along. So I wrote a review about it. And I don't know. I don't want to do any spoilers. And there are spoilers in this review. I do a spoiler-free section, and then I do a spoilers ahead section. But I won't get into the spoilers on this podcast, of course. But I just want to say, this was a really good show. I feel like a lot of things, I feel like maybe I say that too much. I'll see something and I'll say, that was really good. The fact is, I think if I don't like something, I just stop watching it. You know, I don't really waste my time watching it. So if I've seen something to the end, maybe 80% of the time, if I can last that long, then I'm going to say it's a good show. Well, this was better than that. I think this was something that I not only finished and enjoyed, but I want to see more. But unfortunately, it was a limited series. You know, this is on HBO Max. It's a story. It's actually based on a book, which I need to read because I love the show. It's based on a book. It kind of jumps all over the place. It's hard to explain, but it's this little girl who is there when the apocalypse happens, this crazy pandemic that happens and wipes a lot of people out. Not everyone, but a lot of people. It shows her how she survives with this man who kind of takes her in and helps her survive. Well, then we jump forward and we have her when she's older. She's in her it's 20 years later, and she's traveling with this like a theater group, and they're performing Hamlet at different like survivor villages, right? That might seem, I don't know, it might seem weird. Not weird, but you know, like weird that it would be something that would make an entire movie out of that premise. But there's so much more to it. There's it's so well written, it's so well acted, and there's so much that intertwines with each other, with the characters intertwine with each other, where you kind of have the flashbacks back and forth with Kirsten is the girl's name. Kirsten as a little girl, and then Kirsten later when she's grown up, and how these people that she interacts with relate to each other. Again, I don't want to do any spoilers, but it even goes so far as there's the reason it's called Station 11 is because there's this comic book, graphic novel comic book that was written that she has a copy of that a guy gave her before the end of the world. And it's pretty much all she had to read. And she read it, you know, over and over again. So she would see the parallels between Station 11, the comic, and the way life was playing out after the apocalypse. And someone else had a copy of it too, who it turns out was connected to the people she knew before. And so this person knew all about Station 11. So, you know, their lives kind of connect, and then they find out they both know about Station 11. So, I mean, I feel like I'm not doing this justice because there's so much going on that really works out well. But it's a really great show. I highly, highly recommend it. I don't think that, you know, I can't, like I said, I can't put the, I can't do it justice, especially staying away from spoilers, because there's so much where it's like, oh, that was an incredible part, but I can't really talk about it. Read my review where I do talk more about it, and then just check this out. If you know, HBO Max is, I got it for Dune back in October, late October, and then we started watching something else on it, I forgot. And it kind of caught me for a while, you know, but then I heard Station 11 was coming in December. So it was just one more month. I said, I'll just let it go one more month. But then Station 11 went into January. So, okay, just one more month. I'll have HBO Max. Oh, I know what the other one, Raised by Wolves. We watched the first season of that and, you know, caught up with that, my wife and I. Well, now Raised by Wolves season 2 is coming out on February 3rd. So it's like, okay, maybe I'll just keep it one more month, you know, until that HBO, you have my soul. I don't know how you did it, but your timing is excellent. And this is kudos to their marketing department for getting these great shows out, like, you know, one after the other so that we keep paying. And it's not even expensive. I think it's like $5 a month or something. Well, I forgot. I'm so confused. Actually, I think Paramount Plus is the one that's $5 a month. That's totally worth it. But this one might have been a little bit more, maybe like $7 or $8. But anyway, totally worth it. I really enjoyed this show. I really enjoyed Raised by Wolves, and I'm really going to enjoy season 2, I hope, which comes out on the 3rd, which is next week, right? Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. Well, it's 2 weeks, about 2 weeks away. Yeah, Station 11, check that out. Now, I'd mentioned, this is a little tangent. I don't know if you knew this, but I like to take tangents on this show. One other movie I watched, and I correlate this with Station 11 because I watched them, I finished Station 11, then I watched this movie. It's called The Colony. Now, I've talked about The Colony before on this podcast, I think when Derek and Stephanie were on here, and I made fun of the fact that it was originally called Tides, right? Tides. It makes sense, to call this movie Tides, because it had, there's a whole part in it where the ruined earth is taken over by water and these tides come in and they flood everything. And then when they recede, there's like this whole different ecosphere. But anyway, so Tides makes sense. But then they're like, no, we're going to call it The Colony, which is the name of every other show on IMDb. Like, look at the just look it up. Look up The Colony on IMDb, and it'll have a list of all these shows with the name. And, you know, most of them are pretty good, actually. But I just don't understand why they named it The Colony. It seems so dumb. That said, I really enjoyed the movie. The movie is about... I don't have anything written down about this, so I don't remember, like, the stars' names or anything like that. So basically, this main character, she's an astronaut, and she is stuck... Let's see. So she lands on Earth after these people leave Earth. So I'm jumping around, but this group of people leave Earth because Earth is done. It's pretty much done. It's, an apocalypse has happened. So they leave Earth. They go out to this other planet called Kepler something, which is also the name of the planet in Raised by Wolves. And that makes me crazy that they both said Kepler. So they go out to Kepler, live a couple generations. Then they figure out they can't have babies anymore. Their reproductive systems, they think, is either the water or the air. Something's messing with it. No more babies are being born. So they said, let's go back to Earth. Let's see how things are going. You know, because we sent a little ship there to check it out, a while back, 20 years ago, whatever it was. And we never heard back from them. So I want you guys to go there and check it out, blah, blah, blah. So she lands there with a couple other people. They both die. She's the only survivor. She gets out. She discovers two things. One, the original group that came from Kepler to check out Earth is still there. And it's actually led by Ian Glenn, who's the guy, Jorah Mormont from Game of Thrones. Just a great actor. Great actor. He does a great job on this. He's kind of like the captain. You know, he's this old guy who's like, we've survived here this long. We're so happy to see you. You're from Kepler. Great. Okay, so she finds that group, and then she finds a group of survivors, people who actually survived the apocalypse on Earth. And this group is a lot more tribal, although I think they call them like muds or something like that, like mud something. I don't know. I guess it makes sense because everything is so muddy and wet. It's a derogatory term in this movie. So I don't want to give away any spoilers, but it's a really interesting premise. I think the setting of the movie is amazing. It's very, very dark, very gritty, very wet. You just feel like you feel the wetness of the earth. It's just everything is flooded and it's raining and it just feels like, I don't know. It doesn't seem fun. It's like a rainforest all the time. Actually, it's not even a forest. There's not even trees. It's just a rain. It's a rain without the forest part. So we have that. We have the fact that she has found these other civilizations, and then she has to try to survive these people. You know, they're against each other. They're basically battling each other all the time. And she's like, who do I side with? How do I get out of here? If this is my new existence here on this planet, I have to figure out which side I want to, stay with. And it's a cool premise, but the ending is horrible. I'll just say that the ending is very rushed. It's very, I don't know. They were going, I was enjoying the movie. I think it was going in a good direction. I actually watched it twice, because I watched it once, and then I told my wife all about it, and she said, well, we have to watch this. And I said, okay, I think I can watch this again. So I watched it twice, and so I really have this movie in my mind. And the second time, was no different. The ending is still sucky. It's still, it's just not, it's not like something incredible happened that made you go, whoa. It's just that it didn't go anywhere. They tried hurrying a lot of stuff. They tried tying up a lot of loose ends. It could have been a longer movie, and then it would have been better. So Yeah, I think it was. I think it was all right. I think it's worth watching. I think there's a lot of stuff worth watching that has a sucky ending, but I think this is worth watching just, you know, for that experience of the beginning and the middle. A great, great movie up till the ending. All right, next little bit of news. We have, boy, I've been doing this a little while here, huh? This is a nice long episode. Why the Last Man, we've talked about a million times on the show. The showrunner, the person who is, you know, leading the charge to get this show made is Eliza Clark. Now, Eliza Clark did a great job with season one, but Hulu didn't agree with that. Hulu thinks that, well, it wasn't good. Like, it was good, but it wasn't good enough to make a season two. And you might be asking, well, Hulu, how do you know it wasn't good? And Hulu's like, well, we don't know. We don't have any numbers. We don't keep track of those things. But just trust us, it wasn't good. So Hulu canceled it. They said no season two. And Eliza Clark, rightfully, was pretty upset. You know, she took to Twitter right away and she was like, I don't know what's going on, but we got to get this season two out there. I want to work with these people more. I want to, like, some other network, please pick this up. Even Stephen King got in there, and let me see if I can find the quote from him. He said, he says, come on, Hulu, or somebody, don't leave me hanging. So even Stephen King was a fan of Why the Last Man. Well, the news here this week is that Eliza Clark has finally admitted to herself and to everyone that it's not going to happen. You know, there, she's tried pitching it to a bunch of different networks. There was even a little rumor about HBO Max picking it up, speaking of HBO Max, but it's just not working out. So she took to Twitter and she said, for those of you who have been asking me, we tried really hard to get another platform to pick up season two of Why, but sadly, it doesn't look like it's going to happen. It is always incredibly difficult to move a show, and in recent years, it's only gotten harder. She goes on to speak more of that, but it's a good point. We're in a really crazy time right now, you know, pandemic and all that good stuff. And that combined with the fact that Hulu just completely dropped them, it'd be hard to pitch it to another, you know, another service. So, I mean, I wish her luck. Maybe one day it'll get picked up. There's still a lot more of the story to tell. You know, they only covered a little bit. The graphic novel, the comic series got, you know, went on for, I think it was 60 episodes, something like that, 60 issues. So, you know, they have a lot more to cover. It sucks that it would stop right here, but that's how it goes. It goes that way for a lot. But here's another good thing I wanted to mention real quick is she has a good attitude about it, a positive attitude where she says, you know, she's admitting, well, you know, we're happy to even do one season. You know, she says, here's what she says. Her quote is exactly, but there are many shows that don't make it past season one and even more that never get made. I'm grateful for the time we had. I love our show and I have lifelong collaborators and friends who I will do everything in my power to work with again and again. So it ends on a pretty good note. So hopefully it turns into something. Maybe, like she said, the collaborators can get together and collaborate on something else. All right. I'm just going to end it with this next little bit of news here. Because we there's so much to talk about and we're running over a little bit. But for all of you out there who dress like you're in the Matrix, the good news is it's now cool. You are cool now. In case that was something you were worried about, being cool and dressing cool, now you're cool. So I guess TikTok and Instagram and all that stuff, there's a couple different hashtags floating around, like dystopia core and avant apocalypse are a couple of the hashtags. Apparently it's cool. I think even the word cool isn't cool. I keep saying it though. It's off the chizane. How about that? No, I'll just stick with cool. It's cool to wear like all black and to wear like leather, like, you know, with like studded metal, not like spikes, but, you know, just worn out looking stuff. Basically it'll look like you came straight out of the Matrix or Dune or something like that. So that's cool now. according to fashion experts. This is the first time I've ever, you know, read anything from a fashion expert if you, you know, if it doesn't involve a hoodie and jeans. So this is the fashion expert saying now that dressing like you're in the apocalypse or in a dystopian universe is cool. That's where we're going with fashion now. Take it with a grain of salt. You know, I don't know. One thing I did point out in here in my article is that, you know, we're kind of coming off of this Laura Ingalls look where everyone's dressing like with, you know, flowing flowery dresses with big puffy sleeves and stuff to look like Laura Ingalls on Little House on the Prairie. And so I said, someone tell Target, you know, the Laura Ingalls look is going away in, you know, in lieu of this. Well, here, I guess, it, you know, it kind of goes hand in hand with that because the Laura Ingalls look was very, you know, people are embracing the fact that they're staying at home and making, you know, and growing gardens now. Well, this is going one step further. According to this trend expert named Geraldine Wari, she says, fashion statements often have an element of defiance. In this particular case, the defiance is the darkness and dystopian aspect. Totally makes sense, right? The idea that optimism, I like this part, the idea that optimism is not cool and doesn't reflect our current times, similar to what punk stood for during the 70s. So what she's saying is, you know, we're done. Like, we're done being optimistic about about, you know, the world right now in this pandemic. It's sad, but it's the way things are. You know, we, at the beginning of the pandemic, you know, year and a half ago, we had, that was 2 years ago. Wow. 2 years ago, everyone was dressing in sweats and they're like, yes, I get to dress in sweatpants and I get to work from home and it's going to be incredible. Well, now people are tired of that and people want to dress, you know, we still have that kind of, you know, the end of the world is coming attitude, but we want to dress up a little bit more. Enter Neo, right? Enter Neo. We're going to start dressing like Neo. And as a little bonus in this article that I wrote about this, I included a little clip from Grandma's Boy, which is one of the stupidest shows you've ever seen, but I love it. Where JP, who's the head of the, if you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. JP dresses in all black trench coats. And one of the guys says, how much do clothes cost in the Matrix? And when I saw this original article, and this whole idea of dressing like the Matrix, that's the first thing that came to my mind was Grandma's Boy in that scene. So I included that little clip in the article for you. You are welcome. Check that out. All right. Aside from all that, you know, we have some upcoming stuff. I already mentioned Raised by Wolves season 2, February 3rd. I mentioned the two movies that are coming out February 4th, Moonfall, Last Survivors. Dying Light 2 is coming out on February 4th. But even before that, we have Snowpiercer season 3, which will be coming out this coming Monday. So I'm excited about that. I will most likely be writing reviews and recaps for each of the episodes throughout the whole season. All of Us Are Dead is that show that like zombie kids in high school show on Netflix. That's coming out on January 28th. So we have all this to look forward to. Tons going on right now. It's a busy time for post-apocalyptic. And I haven't even covered all the stuff on the website, you know. So if you want to see more, I mean, there's more stuff about Attack on Titan that I could ever even learn to talk about. There's just more on there. Definitely check it out to see what else we're covering aside from what I talk about here with my side rants. So that's how that goes. So thanks everyone for listening. I really appreciate it. I appreciate the likes and the, you know, going to the website and checking all that out. Comments, I appreciate all that stuff. You all are great. And I have two points of advice for you. One is stay alive out there, and the other one is always be ready for the big one. Bye-bye.